Before we get started, I'll give out some scriptures here. David Cutter, if you could read Mark 9, 17 to 29. Colby, Luke 10, verse 9. Will Shear, Mark 9, 17 and 18. Brian, Genesis 1, 26. Anthony, Joshua 1, 3. Matt Hepburn, Deuteronomy 8, 11. Phil, Numbers 33, 55. Tony, Mark 9:28, Ayel, 2 Kings 4:31, Antonio, Mark 9:29, Jericho, Luke 10:17, Edgar, Acts 3:6-8, and Devin, Mark 16:15-18. Okay, when I was first a disciple, starting out coming to Serious Men, some of the most pivotal lessons that Pastor Greg taught were lessons on dominion. Because for myself, and I know for a lot of other guys, there was a mindset, a mentality of just this is how it is. It's just harder in Prescott. Everybody's heard the gospel. Everybody's been outreached. And Pastor Greg came in, and it was really changing the mindset, changing the perspectives that a dominion is a right to rule. And some of those lessons, they really affected me. So that's kind of what I want to look at this morning, just a simple lesson entitled Deciding Dominion. This is going to be out of Mark 9, 17 to 29.
Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting."
Okay, let's look at deciding dominion. I want to look firstly at the cost of being unprepared. In our text, we see an obvious need, and the need was for the power of God to be transferred through these men, through these disciples, into the needs of other people. So this was the disciples' job. Where you go, the kingdom of God should go. Dominion should go. Victory, healing, and the power of God should flow through your lives. Read Luke 10, verse 9.
"And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you."
And so very simply, why is there the expectation that the kingdom of God would be there? God says the kingdom of God has come near to you. Very simple, because as a disciple, wherever you go, the kingdom of God shows up as well. At least that should be the expectation. Why is the kingdom of God here? Because I am here. And this was what Jesus was commanding. Secondly, people depend on you to bring God's power into their area of need. Mark 9, 17 and 18.
A man in the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that won't let him talk. Whenever it brings on a seizure, it throws him to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes stiff. So I asked your disciples to drive the spirit out, but they didn't have the power.
And so there was something lacking in these disciples. The expectation this father had was, my son is messed up. He needs the power of God to set him free. Brings him to the disciples because his expectation was they should be able to meet this need. They should be able to transfer the power of God into this child's life. So let's understand dominion then for a moment. Number one, God defines dominion as a right to rule. Genesis 1:26.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let him them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth."
And so his translation said, "Let them have dominion." Another translation is, "Let them rule." Read Joshua 1, verse 3.
"Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given you, as I said to Moses."
So it's interesting here, this is saying that who determines how much breakthrough you have in your own life? Who determines that? It's not the situation around you, it's not the city, it's not your pastor. We determine the outcome. That's what dominion says. Wherever the place, the sole of your foot, wherever you walk, wherever you go, that is what I've given you. God says, this is the promised land, but however much of that you want, that's up to you. However much of victory you want, that's up to you. And so then dominion determines victory in every area of your life. This isn't just talking about prayer for the sick. While it has to do with that, dominion flows into every corner of our lives. It flows into our finances. It flows into our relationships, into your ministry. It has to do with fruitfulness, prayer for the sick, favor on the job, and the list goes on and on and on. The issues of the flesh and carnality. I want dominion over my flesh, dominion over my thought life. Right? This flow, the victory, your dominion, it determines victory. Thirdly, you need to understand about dominion is that it can be lost. This isn't something that just automatically comes to you because you're a child of God and you read your Bible. Dominion can be lost. It can be lost through sin and disobedience, number one. Deuteronomy 8:11.
"That is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I have given you today."
So God gives a warning if you fall away from what you know and you go into sin and disobedience, bad things will happen. When we simply don't understand, this is the second way we lose dominion, is we don't understand our right as believers. What you are experiencing in life today, is that in line with God's word? Can you point to somewhere in the Bible that tells me this is what I should be experiencing, this is what I should have? Because this is the issue. If we don't understand what our rights are as believers, as men of God, then we're just going to be stuck with what we've always had. We're going to have to deal with that. So then we need to understand also when things are not working. Our text, this father with the tormented son, he says, "Your disciples prayed and it didn't work. I brought him to you, Jesus. Here's the problem. The disciples prayed and nothing happened." This is what can happen in a lot of men when we don't experience or don't have dominion in our own lives, is we adapt to a new normal. Dominion in many ways is an attitude or a posture of faith, right? The old saying, Pastor Greg, we all know it. This is unacceptable. The problem is we adapt to being defeated. When we don't experience dominion in our lives, we don't recognize it, we imbibe carnality, The new normal is defeat. Secondly, we change our expectations to fit our experiences. Numbers 33:55.
But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those from whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell.
And so here, backstory, the children of Israel, God is giving them the promised land, and he says you have to drive out the enemy. If you don't, they're going to hurt you down the road. And this is what happens with many men. Oftentimes, as because you don't have dominion in your life, in whatever area, you begin to live with that. I live defeated. I live tormented. I'm broke all the time. I never have fruitfulness. Nothing ever seems to work out for me. I've got conflict. I've got issues and problems. We change our expectations to fit our experiences. Thirdly, the purpose and plans of God stop. Our text, a man in need of God's miracle power, he expected the disciples to change the situation, to meet the need, and they didn't. This is the danger that men can find themselves. We come to church, we're involved, we do stuff for the church, but without dominion, we don't have victory. That's not a win. So let's look at asking the question then. Why am I not experiencing dominion in my life, dominion in my ministry, or dominion in my church? Number one, the disciples, they are honest and are willing to ask the obvious question. Read for me Mark 9:28.
After when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?"
So this is a moment of honesty that I like with these disciples. Why am I not seeing what God has promised? Why is it not working? Why am I not experiencing victory in my own life? Secondly, the disciples disciples with no questions are men who don't grow. Why would a disciple not ask a question or not ask the question? Number one, it could be fear. Men don't want to make themselves vulnerable. It could be pride. I don't want to look stupid or look like I don't know something, so I'm just not going to ask the question. It could be mental laziness. You know, to be a disciple, you have to be a thinker. Analyze your life. Where are you stuck? Rewind the tape 5-10 years ago, then back to today. How much different are you? Where have you gained dominion? Where have you gained victory? Where are the reference points in your life of breakthrough? Where have you stopped growing? What areas are you not seeing breakthrough? Right? These are all the questions that disciples have to ask themselves. And maybe even ask their pastor. Why? Why is this not working? It's like I'm hitting a wall. Nothing seems to be working. This is what these disciples did. Jesus, it didn't work. Help us understand. What's the problem? Thirdly, identify areas where you're weak. Identify areas where you're not experiencing dominion. They go to Jesus because they recognize what we just experienced is not right. This is unacceptable. We're not going to make excuses for it. Well, I guess that boy, that's just his cross to bear, even though Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. I guess that's just life. I guess this father just has to learn and play the cards that he's been dealt in life, right? These disciples, no, their attitude was, this is not right. Men can say, well, I tried and it didn't work. So I guess the discipleship thing just isn't for me. I attempted that outreach. I did that thing and it just didn't work. Went through another conference and pastor didn't pick me. I guess I'm not called. Right? We begin to see those areas and come to conclusions. Read 2 Kings 4:31.
Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, the child is still dead.
So here, this was Gehazi's attitude. Here, Elisha, I did what you wanted me to do. The boy's still dead. It didn't work. Move on with life. But he never asks the question. Because then we read later on, Elisha goes, and God does a miracle, brings the boy back to life. But this was Gehazi's attitude, was, didn't work, I guess, whatever, move on with life. So then let's examine gaining dominion in your life. Mark 9:29.
And he said unto them, this kind can come out by nothing, save by prayer.
So my translation, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So number one, Jesus points out the need for prayer. Small decisions of regular obedience and faithfulness. This is what we want. Sometimes is we want this big giant moment of, aha, I finally arrived at dominion. But dominion works out in small areas of obedience. Prayer, it's a posture of faith. Prayer should come from the position and place of victory and not defeat. So the question is then, what is your prayer life like? You know, your prayer life, it should be as routine as brushing your teeth. Brushing your teeth should be a routine. But really, this is what we... I said a prayer one time, and now I God should move. God, there should be breakthrough. But this is something that should be a regular habit of your life. What your prayer life should involve is not just, God, help me. Your prayer life should involve rehearsing what God has already said. God, this is what you have promised. In your word, God, this is what you have declared over my life. I will settle for nothing less. This is what I want to see. Secondly, Jesus mentions fasting. You know, in many ways, fasting is a demonstration of our willingness to do whatever it takes for a breakthrough. If you're going to go without eating, you're pretty serious about something. This is an intentional focus on God. A decision to fight it through. And each of us will have to come to a place in our lives where we are sick and tired of being defeated. This is what fasting will lead to. Thirdly, identify the strategies of hell. You know, we have to see that the devil will use every opportunity he can to damage our dominion and our right to rule. This can't come as a shock. This can't come as a surprise, but we must identify it. And then fourth, dominion is a choice. God has established his authority and dominion to be exercised by us on the earth. Anything less than victory is unacceptable. This is how we gain dominion. So let's look finally then this morning at dominion's blessing. First of all, dominion becomes a reference point for your future. There will never be a time in your ministry where you won't need dominion. There will never be a time in your life where you've arrived at such a high plane where it's like, no, I've just got the victory all the time and I've never even have to think about it. To this day, the staff here in Prescott, we are fighting through in dominion. Somebody on staff for the last, I think, 3 weeks, somebody has been fasting. It's a rolling fast for the past almost a month now. Think about that. Even Pastor Greg, contending, laying hold of God, taking dominion. You see, victories today, battles fought for dominion today, become our expectations for the future. Becomes a way of life, a way of thinking. Also, dominion is future-focused. There's men here this morning. You someday will be pioneering your own church in a different state, maybe even a different nation. You'll be pastoring your own church. When you arrive there, you're going to have to fight some battles. You're going to have dominion. You see, dominion is not just something you need here in Prescott. It's something you need wherever you go in ministry. And this is the point here in Prescott today, this morning, you can learn to gain dominion. These lessons in dominion, they can be worked out in your life today. And it'd be foolish to put it off. It'd be foolish to wait. Well, you know, I'll have breakthrough in fruitfulness when I get out. I'll have breakthrough in my prayer life when I get out. I'll really start pressing in and studying and laying hold of the Word of God when I get out. Why wait? You have an opportunity today. And finally, your dominion that you gain in your life this morning, it will bless other people's lives. Luke 10:17.
The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name."
So here, the disciples, this is the outflow of dominion, of God helping them, is that they understand ministry is all about other people. Think about that. People depend on you having dominion to change the circumstances of their lives. When you take dominion, other people will feel the benefit of that. Acts 3:6-8.
Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God.
So how incredible that Peter, even though he had flaws and issues and problems, because of dominion, he's able to transfer the power of God through his life into the life of somebody in need. And the same could be said for each of us in this place. When you exercise that dominion, you have that victory, God is able to use your life to touch other people. There's also dominion in salvation. In dominion, there's a spiritual authority that is transferred when we witness. That means our words have effectiveness. It's not just about stringing the right sentences together, but God supernaturally gets involved. You can have the most polished outreach. You can have the most eloquent speech, but if you don't have dominion, it's nothing less than a sales technique. Dominion means the power of God comes down, enters into that situation, and changes all of the dynamics. This is what the Holy Spirit can do. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit is able, through your life, through dominion and victory, change other people in salvation. Finally, dominion in healing. Mark 16:15-18.
And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover."
So this is the outflow. Here, the Great Commission, Jesus says, this is what your expectations should be. People are healed because of you. Lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. You see, in whatever area or whatever arena you lack dominion, you can all make the choice. And you can decide dominion this morning. Amen. That's all I have this morning. Do we have any questions? Tony.
Once you get dominion, how do you keep it?
Well, I think it's something that you have to maintain. This is maintained in prayer. This is maintained in a posture of faith. You know, whatever area you lack or whatever area you're weak, obviously that's something you're going to press into, right? Whenever I pray for people, they never get healed. You break through that. And then you start praying for people and they start getting healed. And I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't stop there. Because we're all a work in progress. And sometimes life, it has a flow to it. There can be seasons of assault. There can be seasons of attack. I woke up this morning. and I had a flat tire on my truck. So I had to take my wife's car this morning. But, you know, that's life. There's seasons, there's stuff that happens. You know, I don't think it was a flat tire demon, but it's just life. But there's other areas in all of our lives where it's like, I shouldn't be experiencing that. That's from hell. So you identify, right? Whatever you want from God, show me in the Word of God where that is your right. And that's how you keep it. You keep dominion. You fight for dominion. You lay hold. You recognize. You analyze. What? Why is it not working here? Why do I have dominion and breakthrough in this arena of my life, but over here it's like, man, just not. It's transferable. No, God, you help me here and here and here. You can help me here, right? That's how you keep it. And then if you're losing it, press in. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Good question. Somebody else?
Along those same lines, like, if you feel like you have gotten dominion in a certain area, are you praying, God, help me to keep dominion in this area?
Sure. Yeah. Can't hurt. You know? But it becomes a reference point, and that's the thing, is you can look back. You can look back on your life and say, man, God, you gave me a breakthrough there, but it's like the children of Israel, wherever the sole of your foot will tread, that I have given you. How much do you want? Because sometimes it's like, yes, that person prayed with me, got breakthrough, got dominion there. But how far do you want to take that? I don't want to just lead people in a prayer. I want to be fruitful. I want my fruit to multiply, right? I want them to reach their family and friends for Jesus. So it doesn't really stop. It's not like you get to a point where you arrive, I have complete and total victory and dominion over every aspect of life. It's a continuation. We're all kind of a work in progress. Yeah.
Is there any way to like have dominion for other people? Like if someone's like, hey man, I'm struggling with when I witness people don't pray. Like, is there a way that dominion is almost transferable from one person to another, or is it an individual?
I think faith is transferable. You can inspire other people to believe God for themselves. You know, when you're talking about different spiritual gifts, you know, the gift of healing, you've heard Pastor Greg talk about that. The gift of healing is special in that it helps you to pray for somebody who can't exercise faith on their own. So I don't think you can necessarily have dominion for somebody else. You can inspire them to believe God. I remember early days when Pastor Greg was here and, you know, we were looking at the music scene and laying hold of God and contending, and it wasn't like Pastor Greg would go down to the 180, and I'm sure he did, but he didn't make it publicly known, but he inspired men. You need to go pray. You need to go lay hold of God. You need to take dominion. I remember many times, you know, a group of us disciples would go to 180 on an off night and just pray around 180. We didn't tell Pastor Greg about it. It wasn't like this big scheduled thing, but his faith was transferred into our hearts and we believed God. But then it was like, we need to take dominion for ourselves. He can't do this for us. So, yeah, you can't have dominion for somebody else, but you can encourage their faith. You can inspire them to believe God. Yeah.
When I think of dominion, the right to rule, my brain often goes to things like, you know, constitutional rights, things like that. People know the Constitution, they can exercise those rights in certain ways. But then there's people that are totally ignorant of the Constitution, thinking they're exercising some kind of right, sovereign citizens, you know, that type of person. Mm. Is there an analogous thing where you think you're exercising some kind of biblical right, but you're ignorant and you're actually stepping into an area that's false or incorrect?
Well, I mean, I suppose lots of things are possible. biggest thing is you got to start with what does God's word actually say. If we're assuming and we're saying, well, you know, Pastor Greg says, mm-hmm. revelation is something that you have to get for yourself. It's not enough. You know, the seven sons of Sceva, you know, they're trying to cast out a demon, come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, or, you know, Peter, whatever, and it's like, no, that didn't accomplish anything, right? It has to become yours. I think that's the point. You have to own this. If it's just like, oh, I guess everybody's telling me I need to have this, okay, well, I guess I want it. No, it's something that it's like, no, this is not right. It's even more powerful than our Constitution. It's even more powerful than that because this is God-given. This is something that we have as believers. It is our right. And anything less is like, no, the devil is not meant to rule here. We are meant to rule in every arena. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it starts, you have to know what God says. That's this foundation.
In the area of finances, when you've had dominion, you know, breakthroughs, things mm-hmm. happen, and then it's like, felt like you've gone backwards in that area. Financially, just, I know giving, I mean, I'm very inspired. I always listen to what God does with giving, and then just reading things on budget and those things. But have you found yourself, you feel like, oh no, we're, you know, it's a fight again, but then God does it again and again, but it's still like you feel, I just feel like we go like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that, of course, there's seasons, there's ebbs and flows of life, there's natural circumstances where more is required of your finances, but in all of life, analyze, how did we get here? What, you know, not to make it too simplistic, but, you know, budgeting, that's huge. It's like, okay, how much is coming in, how much is going out, and where is it going? How are we spending it, right? Those are just logical things that you're able to deduce. You know, it's like, wow, we spent this amount of money on something frivolous, so I guess, you know, that's where it's going. You find where the holes are. But, you know, more than that, it's a posture of faith. It's like, I don't want to live my life just getting bailed out of every bad financial decision I make. It's like, no, I want to be the head and not the tail. Abraham was blessed. You look all through Scripture, men that were financially prosperous and blessed by God, you know, what was the situation in their lives? How did that come about? Right? So that's something that we can fight through, we can fight for. So, yeah. And obviously, read and you know, gain some understanding in making good financial decisions. That always helps. So, there's apps, tons of apps to help with finances. So, might be helpful.
Besides having a posture of faith, self-reflecting and digging in God's word and understanding his promises, what else can you do to transfer faith and dominion when you see God move in one area but you're not experiencing anything in another?
Well, I would say depending on what it is. So like if we say this is an area of, like I need an area of financial breakthrough, right? This is something, you know what? Rather than just continuing and doing the same thing I've always done, I'm going to give more. Just out of like, I am just sticking it to the devil. That's all I'm doing. This is a in your face, devil, you're not going to win. Right? That is when we say exercise a posture of faith, it's not just about believing harder. Right? What muscle is that? How do I believe more? But it's actually putting action to our faith, right? Area of, you know, I'm not fruitful. It seems like when things aren't working out and nobody's responding, man, why isn't this changing? You know, that's press in harder. I'm just going to go out by myself. I'm going to go out and evangelize. I'm going to go out and witness. Nobody else is going to know about it. But this, I'm just doing this because I have to see a breakthrough. I think that's the action behind the faith that will cause, you know, supernatural doors to open. When you're sick, when you're feeling oppressed in your health, I'm going to go pray for people. I'm going to go lay hands on the sick. I'm going to see them recover. That's exercising that faith. It's nothing less than victory, right? It's not just a mental assent, like, I believe it. It's boots on the ground. I'm going to actually do something about this, right? I think that will definitely lead into gaining dominion in those other areas, right? That's transferring faith. So, yeah.
What can you do if you feel like you've maybe had a mentality where you've kind of accepted things the way they are? Like, let's say it's a lack of fruitfulness and you are kind of just accepting what it's been, and I understand dominion, believe in it. How do you get your heart to is it more of like just asking God, give me that desire for something better? I mean,
well, I think it's in the doing that your emotions and your feelings will come into line. Like, sometimes we can be feeling a certain way, we can be thinking a certain way, and we know it's not right. It's like, no, I'm going to act, I'm going to respond contrary to how I feel. That's part of dominion, is I don't express every single emotion and feeling I have. And I don't live my life based on that. Because feelings lie, emotions lie, those things are passing. But what is a constant, what is a standard, is what does God's word say? This is what I'm feeling, this is my mentality, this is how I've approached life, but what does God's word say? That's what I'm going to do. And your feelings will come in, your feelings will obey what you're doing spiritually, right? But it just takes work. Sometimes it just takes, you gotta sink your teeth into it, man.
So you're saying, if I, even if I feel a certain way, I can look just at what the word of God says, there should be fruitfulness in my life. There's not, then I'm gonna, like you said, go outreach extra, do something fast. Even if I didn't feel like I need to do that, I'm gonna just do it because logically something needs to change.
Yeah, but, and the other thing too, a caveat to all of this is, this isn't like a formula. This isn't like if I do X, Y, and Z, then boom, I've got my miracle. I've got this thing, right? We love formulas. Man, it's like I just push the buttons and I get the chips. Like, that's how this should work. But that's not life. Sometimes it's like you have to fight through in prayer and fasting and laying hold of God, whether you want to or not. When you're experiencing defeat and you're experiencing the powers of hell against your life, I feel like crawling into a fetal position and staying home and, eating junk food all day. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because of my right as a believer, the dominion that God has given me. This is how I'm going to respond to this, right? I don't care what my feelings are. I don't care, what I've thought about this in the past. No, God, this is what you say. And it's not a formula-based thing. Like Pastor said, if I do this, this, and this, boom, I get breakthrough. It's a way of life. You can see that in Pastor Greg and Pastor Jesse. It's like when things aren't working well, it's like, no, this isn't right. It's just in them that there's gotta be a fight in you that says, no, I am not settling. Right? Even if I have settled in the past, today, no more, right? That is dominion. So, good question. Anybody else? Yeah, Edgar.
Transferring faith. I get it. Like, if somebody sees, wow, they really had faith for me. They prayed for me. What else can you do to transfer your faith and belief in God to move in somebody else's life that's not seeing it at the time?
Yeah, I think part of it, like, for me, some of the most encouraging moments in my life is when Pastor Greg has said things to me where I didn't even believe them about myself. Like he would say, I see a man of God in you. God's going to move on your behalf. God's going to help you, right? When he sees something in me I don't see in myself, That is incredibly encouraging, right? It's just words that inspire. It's God, help me to speak life into other people's circumstances. That is, you know, because when you get around Debbie Downers and it's like everything's doom and gloom, it's easy to kind of like, oh yeah, it is bad, isn't it? You know, it's easy to kind of imbibe that. But it's like, no, a posture of faith and standing on God's word and his promises, that's like, that's contagious. It was one thing when Pastor Greg first came back to Prescott, it was like the way he looked at life, the way he viewed life and situations, it was like, no, I've been looking at this all wrong. I've been viewing ministry and dominion and all, I've been viewing it incorrectly up until this point. And then the faith that he had to see something break through, it was like the men around him started to catch that. So when you speak life, you speak words of encouragement, words of dominion, and you know, you make that known to people around you, they'll get inspired for it. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, you know? It's not like, boom, they wake up doing backflips the next day. It's like, no, those words will sink in. They'll take root. You'll encourage people. You'll transfer that faith. Yeah, but it doesn't work. Yeah, but this is what God says. This is what we're experiencing. Yeah, probably over 100 visitors on the outreach yesterday. I didn't even know where Tonto Park was. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is incredible. I've never seen an outreach like this. But for Devin, that started a long time ago. Personally, laying hold of God, dominion, faith. And then an outreach like that, whoever was there yesterday, you felt the presence of God, your faith was stirred and inspired. Right? That is, it's transferable. What Pastor Greg believes and how Pastor Jesse believes, it's like, man, I want faith like that. I want to believe like that too. You know? So that'll help as well.
Yeah. In my life, I feel like I just recently started taking dominion in areas of my life. Do you think because of that newness that maybe there is an expectation that dominion takes time for other areas, like the transfer is not immediate? You have to continue, like, to, you know, the basics and then go from there and start to, like, take dominion elsewhere in areas of your life or ministry. Does that start from that center area, or you can immediately go over here and taking dominion there?
I don't think God works in a linear way like that. Mm. Where it's like, no, you're not quite there yet. It's like the progress bar on a Windows computer. Yeah. It's just like, it is never going to load. I'm just going to throw it away and get a Mac. But, you know, I don't think God works like that. Right? God, I need, you know, you need a financial breakthrough. I don't need a financial breakthrough in a couple of years. God, like, the bills are there. I need breakthrough in my relationship with my wife. I need breakthrough in fruitfulness now. That's not something that's like, okay, someday maybe God will help you. No, that's something God wants to do for you today, right? I wouldn't agonize over it and lose sleep over it, but it should be something in you that's just like, no, I don't want to settle, and I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
You know, the children of Israel, wherever you walk, that's what you have. I don't feel like walking today. No, I haven't quite worked out this area. It's like, no, take dominion in whatever area, right? Because you need it in all those areas. Yeah. Right? It's not like, I could use a little bit of finances. It's like, no, God, I need your help. I need you to help me break through this. And God will move. And oftentimes I've seen this too, is like when you begin to contend and fight through in dominion in one area of your life, God will open doors of blessing in other areas. And it's like, man, I was praying for fruitfulness and breakthrough in outreaching, and God restored my marriage. God healed that, right? It's that's the way God works, because he really likes helping his people. And he knows we need it. Because without him, man, we're doomed. So But it's attainable. That's the whole point. Dominion today, it's attainable. You can fight for it today. Anybody else? Other questions? Going once, going twice. Okay. That's it, guys. I have a break.